Okay.
I'd like to call to order this session of the Parks and Rec Committee for the Cameron Park CSD. It is Monday, October 2nd, and the time is 6:35. General Manager, could you make the roll call?
Yes, Director Israel.
Here.
Director Scobie.
Here.
Excellent. Monique, would you like to adopt this agenda?
I would love to adopt this agenda. I'm just wondering if we should give Kim more time and move item one to item two, switch item one and two.
We can do that.
Sure, we can do that.
Okay. I make a motion to adopt the agenda, switching item one and two.
And I'm supportive of that. Aye. All right. We will move on to approval of the conformed agenda. And I had a comment on that since Monique wasn't here last time. In my comments, I had made reference to setting goals of spending a certain percent in a certain number of years. And I even went as far as saying, you know, 80% of our funds in 3 years would be, you know, a reasonable type of goal. But in these records, it suggests that is a goal that we've adopted when I asked staff to bring back their recommendation.
Okay.
So again, I'd just like staff to really take a hard look at that.
Okay.
So, and that is reflected in some of the comments in the board reports later tonight.
Okay.
So I just want to make sure it's clear that I was seeking staff's recommendation for a similar, if not the same, goal.
Okay.
Other than that, I do not have any other comments on the agenda and would move that we approve it.
Okay, I'll second that.
Thank you. All right, we'll move on to open forum. Members of the public may speak on an item not on tonight's agenda that falls within the responsibilities of the committee. Anybody wish to speak in open forum? Mm-hmm. Chuck.
Hello.
Hello.
Chuck Nielsen.
Hi,
good
Chuck.
Good to see you all again. As you know, I'm part of the pickleball community. I was at the last meeting, and I was pretty pleased that staff and the board members that were here decided to go with option B that we talked about. And I suppose I'm confused on why it's not on the agenda tonight and why we're not moving forward yet on the conditional use permit. And I am totally in favor of moving forward on the Krista McAuliffe thing, and let's go for that and put it, but in the meantime, we need some place to play. So we would love to see things pushed forward, and as the email that I sent you, Jill, we're willing to help with that, whatever we can do to get it going, and you know the mitigations that we put out there, we want to compromise, so that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
My name is Zelma Soba, and I've been to just about all the meetings on pickleball, and I'm sure you all know my opinions. But you want us, I'm one of the neighbors whose yard backs up to the pickleball. And you're asking us to make concessions. But my question is, who is going to enforce this? Because I've been at the park walking the last week, and every day there's people with dogs, and there's people on bicycles. And there's signs that say, no bikes, no pets. And when I confront them, they get mad at me. I don't have a right. They think they have a right. So who's going to enforce the new pickleball concessions if we give you concessions? That's all I want to say. Nobody enforces the rules.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Respond.
No. Okay. Yes.
Hi, my name is Chuck Modulewski. I'm the president of Ponderosa Little League. I know we're going to talk about, you know, Prop 68, I believe. That was my combat for four, but I kind of want to sidebar something else. I've been the president now for about, you know, a year and a half now. I've been on the board for Ponderosa for about five or six now. And I just kind of want to bring the attention, you know, to CSD about, future things, for finding fields, finding land, for our kids, our community. As of, I can just give you guys some numbers right now. pretty much from 2018, I had about 510 kids, 19, 501, you know, COVID, you know, kind of messed our numbers up, 448, in 22, 553, in 22, 522, and last year, 553. So our numbers are incrementally, you know, growing, you know, steadily. You know, we're getting, our community's getting bigger, our people moving up from the Bay Area, so families are coming up. Again, our community's getting larger. My board is wanting to kind of bring attention to CSD. I'm not sure what you guys can do as far as how the state goes or, you know, finding funding, just finding fields for our kids. As far as Little League International goes, we have a policy of saying, you know, not saying no to kids who, you know, can't play. And as it's coming right now, it's getting close to the point where, you know, kind of max capacity for having no fields. You know, we have pretty much your guys' fields. We have the two Rasmussens, the new Kristen McCall, thank you for that, and Dave West. But we also are working with the Blue Oak community schools, and those fields need some at work as well. So we're working with the school as far as that goes. But moving forward, we just kind of make our voice known as far as, you know, maybe we can, you know, work together as far as finding some kind of land or something for our kids in our community. Because again, as our, you know, kids are moving up here, families are getting higher, we need to put these kids in the fields. We don't want to turn them away. So again, just wanted to voice our opinions, maybe have Ponderosa get some fields for these kids. So thank you.
Thank you. My name is Susan Parrish, and I'm here to talk about pickleball also. What was plan B that you guys picked, I guess? Last time?
Well, if you review the notes, basically we said that we would like to continue or to pursue development of courts elsewhere, likely Krista, but we also at the same time pursue a conditional use permit at the park for the interim.
Thank you.
Sorry, can I just have one more thing? Sorry. Wanted to give you guys a paper.
Sure.
This just kind of states, you know, how much, as far as part of the league goes, this is the boundaries that we cover. Sorry. Oh, thank you.
There we go. Yep.
So it shows the vast area. Sort of what we cover, you know, rescue all the way down.
Do you have access to the fields at the other schools?
So right now, yes, we work with Camerato right here. Mm-hmm. We have one field at Green Valley, mm-hmm. which also needs some work. And then we have, we use Rescue, but that's pretty much it.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, any other public comment? Okay, thank you. We will move on to department matters, and we will look at item number two first, Prop 68, project recommendations.
Okay. We are returning to you with our recommendations for Proposition 68. The landscape architect that had worked with us on our park improvement plan is not able to continue working with the district. So so staff will be going out with an RFP to secure a new landscape architect that will help us assign costs to the priority projects that we'll be coming forward with in the park improvement plan. So it'll be a couple of months before we're able to get out with an RFP, select the landscape architect, you know, try to get some cost estimates for maybe the top 5 or 10 projects that we've got going and come back to you. So instead of waiting that time, we felt it would be in everyone's best interest if we moved ahead with our Proposition 68 grant funding. And so we would, staff have been talking with Ponderosa Little League about partnering, as we did with Prospector Soccer, to improve the fields. With our Proposition 68 money, we are thinking that we have about $177,000 remaining in that fund. We think that this project will take about half of that. Mike is working to update cost estimates from
Delta Bluegrass.
I knew it didn't. Okay, I knew it was wrong. Delta Bluegrass. So we are updating those project costs, and we could return to your committee with a scope of work and a grant application as soon as next month to move forward with that project if you chose to do that. The other one, in the spirit of what we have done with our sports teams as far as soccer and baseball, we think that we've talked about shade at the pool. It's a necessary, you know, amenity at our pool, especially in our hot summer. And so we would like to move forward with a project with Proposition 68 funding for shade. That project may also include raising the slide that is no longer functioning and replacing that with some sort of playground. Our in preliminary conversations with our swim teams, both are interested in that conversation about contributing those matching funds. It may be that this may need additional funding beyond Proposition 68 and the funds from the swim team, but we'll come back to you with the full scope of work, cost estimate, and what our recommended funding sources are. So.
Questions, Marty?
Yeah, regarding the, could you tell me a little bit about the pre-plumbed spray ground we have? Where is it located around our pool?
So right now there's two pumps that are in the pool mechanical room with all the other pool equipment. One of the pumps feeds the water slide, and so there's already water to that water slide, and then there's a secondary pump that's never been used that was plumbed for a future amenity. And so there's two pumps with the plumbing and everything that feed the water slide now. That could be converted into something else.
Okay, are there already sprinklers in the deck, or do those have to be installed?
Those would have to be installed.
Okay, so yeah. You're saying the plumbing is there, but not the actual water features?
Correct. Yep.
And do you have an idea where those would go?
Not yet, no.
Okay, so that's what we need the architect for?
Yeah,
okay.
To design something for our system and what our pumps and stuff are capable of and the pipe sizing and all that.
Okay, so we'd be actually digging in or removing some concrete in the deck in order to install the sprinkler, the water amenities.
Depending on whatever we wanted to do, yeah, we would have to sock up the concrete and retrofit and move some stuff around.
Are there any regulations regarding the amount of deck space we have to have? Do we have enough deck space to do that?
No, we have enough deck space to do something. What that is, we're not quite sure yet.
Okay.
That's all going to be part of what the landscape architect helps us with.
We do. And the landscape architect is going to look at both the shade and the spray ground?
So we don't actually need to work with a landscape architect. We need to work with a manufacturer, that I think is the direction that we can go with this project. There are manufacturers that, you know, do this kind of work. They do their recreation amenities. They do shade. They do, you know, water features, they do this. And so I think that instead of waiting for this RFP process with a landscape architect, we could actually do an RFP and go directly to the manufacturers and have them manage the project and put it in.
And they would manage both the shade and the prey
Correct.
Spray. And then the pool teams would be more interested in just doing 20% on the shade, or are they
Yes.
willing to do 20% on all of it?
Well, I mean, we could ask them for 20% on all of it, but I think that they're mostly interested in the shade, and we don't have a cost estimate yet. So,
yeah.
I mean, we really got to get the scope of work and the cost down. But I think what's exciting is that the swim teams, you know, Prospector Soccer was very involved in the development of the sports field improvement project. They had input into grass we use, and when the field was closed for this, you know, so they were an integral part of this process, both moving forward with Rasmussen and David West sports fields, and then also this other project potentially at the pool. Those groups are helping with the selection and the scope of work, and that's the exciting part, you know, is having the community involved.
Oh, absolutely. And then do you think you can get this done by next month and bring back some cost estimates?
I think that we could get the sports fields done by next month and get that application in. I believe what would happen is that we would have to develop a request for proposal with some to release to some manufacturers. I would say that that's going to take 4 to 6 weeks to get that request for proposal developed and out. We're happy to bring that back to you if we have that ready next month. but I would foresee, you know, doing a request for proposal, going through a selection process is probably going to take 3 months or more. And so you're looking at maybe potentially selecting a vendor and securing costs next summer and then construction next winter. So
we'd have to do two proposals back to the state for the Prop 68 funds, one for the fields and another one for the...
And you would have to do that anyway because it has to be site specific. So actually Rasmussen and David West are two separate applications.
I see. Okay. All right. Those are all my questions.
So I'm curious about, do we have agreements with soccer, for example, mm-hmm. on these, so we actually enter into an agreement with the youth sports organization?
Annually. So we enter into a user group agreement uh-huh. with our teams uh-huh. Every year in the fall,
right.
And those are generally a calendar year.
And then any field improvements where there's a match or a contribution, is that covered in those agreements?
So we did, when we worked with Prospector, I think that they wanted a commitment that we were going to follow through with the project. Mm-hmm. Also, they wanted to make sure that our fees weren't going to escalate out of control to a point where the money that they were giving us money, but they didn't necessarily want to, they didn't want to use up all their savings account mm-hmm. in case our fees were going to escalate a lot in future years. And so what we did with them is we agreed upon fees for the next 3 years that they would stay at a certain rate so that they had no surprises and they gave us the contribution. I would say that
was... So I assume we'll see that agreement through this committee after that for whoever we work with.
Those teams and those user groups generally were... The facility use... fees are established by, you'll see those, so lane costs, you know, what we charge per mm-hmm. lane, what we charge per lifeguard, what we charge when you use a field, those things are established by the board of directors. And then staff takes those fees that you have established and turns that into those long-term agreements that we have with our user groups.
The board needs to approve those agreements.
They have not in the past.
Why not?
Because it didn't elevate
agreement between two organizations. I don't think you would even have authority to sign that.
It's a revenue agreement,
yeah.
And so it's a user agreement, it's a program agreement, so I have in the past. I can check with our...
We're committing ourselves to capital funds spend through that agreement.
So the agreement itself did not commit. There was a separate letter that secured those match funds.
Okay. All right. I won't take up any more time on this.
Okay.
I would suggest we need agreements before we enter into this with our organization. So clearly state who's paying what and for what benefit.
Correct. We entered into agreements with mm-hmm. Prospector Soccer that committed those funds.
That the board
reviews. And the board approve that commitment. I mean, it's part
yes.
of the application package that goes to the board.
Okay, good.
And
I just want to make sure the board is seeing
yeah.
these agreements
oh, yeah.
and approving them.
Oh, yeah, you see them in the application uh-huh. process.
Yeah.
All right.
For some reason, I remember seeing the Prospector agreement.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was in committee or at the board.
Yeah, you saw it at both, probably.
Is this? Are we bringing this to the board for...
I would like for that to happen because then it sets direction for staff to begin working on these things.
Well, I think what we've suggested here is that staff will be working on developing these projects. There's nothing to approve.
So for me, I would like for the five members of the board to approve staff working on this so that when I come back next month with an application, we don't have board members who are not supportive of moving that forward.
Well, I'll get to my comments
okay.
later.
I actually think that what she said is a good idea because if we don't...
Again, I'll get to my comments after public comment.
Okay, that's
right?
A great idea.
Your questions first, then comments.
That's good.
All right, thank you. All right, any other questions?
No more clarifying questions. No.
All right, the public, are there any public comments on this? All right.
Darren, you've got, Darren is here from swim team. You've got Ponderosa Little League is here. I think everybody, those groups and Sharks are all supportive of moving this forward. Sharks was here earlier tonight.
Yes, I met with them earlier. They are in support of the project, and they're just waiting for this part to move forward. They're excited for us to be able to meet and have further conversations.
Yeah, that's the same with us. That's why I'm here to hear a little more about the proposition, but I think it's a great idea, and we're happy to be a part of it and help move things forward.
Okay. Any other public comment?
All right.
Okay, we'll come back to board member comments.
Well, let's hear yours, Tim. What do you got?
Well, so my concern with taking to this board is these ideas aren't even developed. You're asking the board to approve projects and endorse projects. You have no costs. You have no details on how many features. What's this going to look like? I mean, there's some easy ones. Redoing the fields at Dave West and Rasmussen, that's pretty easy, and I'd be supportive of that. Getting a demolition contractor in here just to take out that thing and get rid of it?
I'd like to do that this winter.
I would support doing that with whatever, just
yes,
general
I,
funds.
I agree.
Just to demo and get it out of here. It's a kind of an eyesore. It's in the way of things. Let's get rid of it. If it's gone, it's gone. A splash pad, I mean, there's a lot of planning here. That should go on our list of park improvements. And then the stage structures, my concern there is we take something out to RFP, is what you said, which basically then requires, there's no specific scope of work for them to bid on unless we put something together. And then you have to evaluate one against another. It's not like a bid where it's just low, it's easy to evaluate. So while I'm supportive of developing these, I don't think we're ready to bring anything to the board because we don't have enough detail.
Can I go?
Yes, you can.
So in the past, we don't always have a full consensus from the board on what to do. So the way I view this is that we're coming forward with a conceptual idea saying, hey board, does everybody want to do this? And to make sure that there's nobody who says, no freaking way, we don't want shade structures at the pool. We need to protect our solar. We need sunshine for the kids or, whatever. I'm making all that up. But my point being is that what I see happening is we're coming forward with a concept. This is what we'd like to do. Are you in support? And if the whole board is in support, then off you go, staff. Come back with those details you want. And then it comes back through us and to the board for final approval. It's just to make sure everybody knows that this is what Parks and Rec is doing.
And it's for final consideration. I totally understand that the cost of the project may, as it did with the splash pad, the board didn't support that. But for us, at least I won't have somebody saying, well, you know what, you shouldn't have done shade at the pool. You should have bought that property over there to build new sports fields, or you should have pursued improvements at Dunbar Park. So we just want to make sure that everybody has a consensus that this is where we want staff, because we have limited resources, this is where we want staff's time to be spent.
Well, and with that theme in mind, I think the staff time should be spent on developing an RFP for a landscape architect and getting into that process before we work on these things. We do not have enough staff time to be doing all of these things. We had talked all the way up until this staff report over several months in this committee now that we wanted a parks improvement plan with something that the board can consider all of these projects and not jump ahead on whatever you want to call a significant capital improvement at our sites without considering all the projects we want to do. And that's the path we were going down until now. And now we want to jump ahead and do all these things without considering the other ones. I'm comfortable with capital replacement type projects. But I am not comfortable with going ahead and endorsing these other projects before we've considered all the other ones. And so that's why I am not supportive of taking this board for board's basically approval to move ahead with these projects, as if we've said these are the projects we're going to do, and we didn't compare them to anything else. So we're getting off of the process. We even just said, heck, this project won't get built until next winter, and it's not going to be ready by next summer. Why are we in a hurry for, say, shade structures that we can't get built that fast?
So I think that we had talked about near-term and long-term projects, mm-hmm. and I felt that these were near-term projects, that there was community support to move forward with, and it kind of made things in more manageable bite-sized pieces for staff, because we do have limited resources here, and so spending Proposition 68, the state folks are really anxious for us to get these funds spent, and so that's why I was coming back with a near-term project and with projects that I knew were well supported by our sports teams.
Well, I'd be supportive of the fields, but I think there's work to be done on the other things, and even the shade structures. I mean, there's no concept whatsoever. Where are we talking about? Where is it? What does it look like? I mean,
you're right. I mean, that's what we have to talk about.
And so that's where I think staff, and I'm supportive of saying, go ahead and continue to develop these ideas. But staff is very short. You know, time is short. Mm-hmm. And what are we going to be working on? Well, I think the RFP is, you know, we talked about this last meeting, 30 days ago. This should be our top priority to get this done so we have technical support for making these decisions. So let's get an RFP out so we can hire somebody that can help us with projects like the entrance gate, with a splash pad, even with the shade structures and making sure those are covered right. You know, these are all things that there's a lot of things that could go wacky without some good technical support. So that's where I'm at on this, is I'm willing to support moving forward with Dave West Field repairs us. Even when we talk about Quimby later, the partition project, because I view that as more maintaining what we got, not adding more. So that's where I'm at.
Well, then maybe what we could do is bring this forward to the board, full support on the sports fields. Split support. Wow. On the pool amenities.
Okay.
And bring that to the board and let the board decide. But I agree with Tim that top priority is getting an RFP out for a landscape architect. And it'd be great if we can get that done. Is it possible? Can we get that done before the next meeting, get that RFP out?
I think it depends on, you know, the priorities for this committee so that we can get some things crossed off the list. I mean, we've been spinning on the entry park. Mike has worked a lot on the Cameron Park entrance and that automatic gate. We have to bring that back to you in association with the fees. The fee, it's in our strategic plan that we evaluate the benefit and constraints of charging fees at Cameron Park Lake. That's the policy. The entrance, the automatic entrance, or how we collect fees is kind of it's how you do it. It's not the policy. So we first need to decide on the policy of charging fees and whether or not to charge fees. And then it's the means by which we charge those fees, depending on how much revenue we generate. The cost for that automatic gate has escalated. You could buy a couple of playgrounds with the cost of that gate at this point. And so, you know, we need to understand the fees and the revenue. We then need to come back with a recommendation on the means to collect those fees. And we may say, yes, you could do an automatic gate. Here's the cost. Here's the only funding source for that is the general fund. And your payback may be 2, 3, 4 years on that. So I think it's not an easy project. We want to bring that forward next month to you, along with the fees. We would like to bring the park improvement plan. We'd like to do the conditional use permit for pickleball. There's a lot of things we would like to do, but we seem to be getting backed up here, and I need to figure out how to move things forward through this committee.
So would we be able to discuss that when we come to future? You have down here at the bottom of the agenda all these future committee agenda items, and then the committee could provide input on what we think is most important.
Because
would that be appropriate?
Yeah, because having a, you can, you know, Tim and I have talked before, we typically have time for two, maybe three agenda items. But long committee meetings, you know, is not the way to go. So we need to choose, we need to set priorities and move forward through these things.
Well, given that we agree on the sports field, I think we definitely should bring that forward to the board. I would like to postpone whether or not we do the pool items when we get down to the future committee agenda so we can evaluate it against these other items that you're saying.
Our time is limited. We can only do so many things.
Right. So we're going to prioritize.
Yeah, sure.
It's 2 days.
Okay.
Okay. We're done with this item?
So what I hear is that you would like for us to proceed with the sports fields at David West.
And Rasmussen.
And Rasmussen.
And to prioritize the RFP process.
Well, I thought we were going to set our priorities when we get to the item called Items for Future Committee Agendas. And I thought we would discuss those.
Staff can just go ahead and work on that. They don't need our approval.
I'm not saying they need our approval. They need us our priorities.
So, Tim, did you say that you wanted us to proceed with an RFP for the shade structure at the pool?
No, I want a landscape architect who can help us with all of these things.
And I agree with that.
I think it's a wise choice, even with the shade structures, that somebody has expertise in throwing shade.
Okay.
Where should these things go? How, are the footings being appropriately designed considering what we have out here? I mean, I'm a civil engineer. I look at all these things, and when you start talking about having contractors design your stuff for you, you're asking for problems.
Okay.
So I think having a landscape architect on board is a priority. Once we have proposals and staff has a recommendation, bring it to the board. I don't think you need to bring it back here.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We'll move on to item one, or the original item one. Ken?
And I apologize for being late. I had a staffing issue. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to bring you an update on our social recreation grant. That better.
Oh, sorry.
Come on, I don't need to see it. This is a picture taken at one of our park pop-up events. So this grant was found by staff in December of 2022. I worked with a professor from Sac State to write and review its contents, polish it for submittal, so that we made sure that it was something that we could do, and it was meeting the goals of the grant. So this grant was put out through the Department of Developmental Services, and its purpose was to enhance and develop integrated and inclusive social and recreation programs for families, children, adolescents with intellectual or developmentally disabled individuals in diverse communities. And then there was a couple of specific goals around having culturally and linguistically responsive programming, person-centered approaches, and utilizing or leveraging the Department of Developmental Services wanted to leverage programs and agencies that were already existing in the community to help them further their offerings for clients served through Ultra Regional and the Department of Developmental Services. As part of this, as we were looking, as I was looking at this grant, I wanted to make sure that this fit within the strategic plan for the district, as well as our goals, core goals, values, and vision. So out of all the things in the strategic plan, I felt this grant most closely related to our core value and vision of serving the diverse makeup of our community, reaching underserved families within our community, and providing caring service delivery, communication, engaging recreation programs, and utilizing our community center and our parks. So that's kind of what led us up to here. So our accomplishments to date, the nuts and bolts of our grant, we proposed monthly park pop-up events that were free to our community. So far, we have done one in June, July, August, and September. We proposed having staff trainings that would, or just trainings in general. So far, they have been staff trainings. Our future ones will be open to the public at large, revolving around disability awareness, adaptive aquatics, how to make accommodations, how to advocate for people with disabilities, and person-centered approaches, things like that. Part of that, we partnered with we brought a consultant on who has created a full social skills group manual, which will also be something that we hold on to as a district for future and training materials. And with the staff trainings, the consultant also created the training materials and provided the trainings. But then the district will hold on to those materials as well to continue that training moving forward. We also proposed a Teen Explorers program, and as part of that, we have created the curriculum that goes along with that. And then we've made some purchases of some games and different things that were proposed in the original grant to add to these programs that we are proposing. So far to date, that is what we have purchased. So numbers. As far as staff training, we had 34 staff members attend our disability awareness training. Yeah.
So the 34 staff that and the adaptive aquatics, are those our part-time staff that we use in our district, or who are they?
That was all of our summer seasonal, or I say summer seasonal because that's the majority of our programs right now, but all of our seasonal staff who are the leaders of our programs, and our part-time rec specialist coordinators at that level.
Okay, and do how often do those staff that we've trained come back the following year?
We have a pretty high retention rate.
Oh, good.
I think that this training also gives them a lot of tools that will help them feel, that helped them as they were here, which leads to better retention.
Okay, good.
Forward.
Thank you.
What did the rest of our staff get the training? Our permanent staff?
Mm-hmm. So the only permanent staff who did mm-hmm. not get trained are those who are in community center, like facilities and parks, as they're not providing programming.
Did you consider training them up too?
The training is open to them. However, at the time, their priorities were not such that they could take the time to be in those trainings.
And summertime.
And not really a high priority given, not really a high priority training-wise, given they're limited, you know, they're not running programs, which is what this grant is designed for, is the programming.
They won't be interacting with the people coming to the programs.
Right. So these trainings are like tied to the grant. It's not so much just learning about disabilities. It's more about being able to use that knowledge and that training to provide the programming, which is the goal of the grant.
Could you send us the training materials?
I think so.
Yeah,
I'd like to see them. Mm-hmm. I'd be interested because I don't really have a good feel for what's involved in that training.
I will say, I can definitely send the materials. You might have a lot of questions because I know that the way that the consultants, how they train is very interactive. So the PowerPoints that I can send you are only going to be a smidge of what.
But there's like a manual, right? I think there's a social skills manual.
Yeah, that's a program manual on for our staff to be able to.
Yeah, I'd be just interested in seeing those, just so I have a better understanding of what we're doing.
Okay.
CC me too, please.
Okay. It's probably going to take me a little while because it's not it's on a Dropbox and we have file folders and by topic and things like that. So.
Okay.
We'll get it off to you.
All right. Yeah, I don't want to create a bunch of work for you.
And I think that if the staff are interested in the trainings that we're doing in the future, you know, that are open to the public and stuff like that, we can absolutely do that. So I think
it points to maybe giving access to board members to the server, and then you could go in and look at it. I don't know. I mean,
so then you don't.
Yeah, we don't. We'll absolutely send it to you. We can actually attach it to the agenda for next month.
Okay. Whatever you can do. Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah. So then we had 20 staff who participated. It was just aquatic staff who went through adaptive aquatics training for our park pop-ups. So far, we've had 35 participants in total. We averaged somewhere around 10 to 15 at each of our park pop-up events. When we talk about costs and supplies, specific supplies, we have spent $411.70 as of this presentation, and we have spent we have gone through half of the contract with our consultant at $21,050. When we talk about staff hours related to this grant project, I've spent 75 hours in grant supervision, so that is my time, and then our part-time staff that is related to program implementation of like the park pop-ups and the time spent on our teen group curriculum, creating that is just under 40 hours at this point. And our funding we have received to date is $29,998.50.
And that covers all our staff hours? Funding, or we still have yet, we haven't received.
So the way that the grant funding works, they give us 30% upfront.
Oh, right.
When we have spent 60% of that, then we submit all of those receipts and vouchers, all that, and then they will send us another disbursement.
Okay, thank you.
And then our outreach efforts, one of the things that we have has been a struggle for me is that our social skills program and our teen program were not gaining traction and registrations with it. So we have worked really hard on our outreach efforts. So on our social media platforms, our website, we've posted flyers throughout the community. We printed flyers and gave them to the specific bundles to each of the schools in the area for K through sixth grade. It's in our activity guides. We did an article or an interview with the Mountain Democrat. I've had continuous meetings with Alta regional representatives, and we've sent flyers to them. And I just received word today that they put that up on their website now, and have sent it out several times to their coordinators to refer clients to us. And in our last round of conversations, I was able to get Alta to assist me in having Department of Developmental Services switch some of our funding from staff allocation, since we weren't using all of those staff hours, to a financial assistance funding, which allows us to eliminate the fees for our team program and social skills group, so that we can relaunch those and try to gain participation. And actually, as of this afternoon, we had actually gained registrations in our social skills group for both age groups. So moving forward, what does this mean? I mentioned the reallocation of funding. So I'm taking a look at what we had proposed and moving that to try and make our programs as successful as possible and reach our community. We've changed start dates for different things to try to get the word out there. We've sent flyers to also, like I mentioned, we continue our communication efforts on through all of our channels. And then we continue to promote all the programs at our park pop-ups. So we have one in October, November, and December. And then we have November and December staff and community training.
And Kim, yeah. This grant work needs to wrap up by the end of the fiscal year, end of the calendar year?
So technically this grant ends in the end of November with final reporting in December because of how all of this has worked out for us, and their main goal being getting connections and getting programs out there. They're allowing us to be able to go through December to try and finish out those programs and create that flow to then be able to continue it on past this grant.
Okay, and so the final reporting will be in January.
My final reporting still has to be in December to them, but yes.
Okay.
Great. I think that when Kim and I met, just to kind of touch bases on the grant, I think Kim was disappointed in the number of people that we were reaching. And we're reaching about 30 individuals at this point, which I actually thought was pretty good, you know, for a first-time program. But certainly we would like to reach more people. And so Kim and I talked about working with Alta Regional to change this up so that we could try to get the word out and have our programs a little bit more, appealing to some of the population that we're trying to include. So, you know, and I think the staff trainings, I think that we have and serve a lot of those kids that this grant is trying to identify. So, you know, in our day camp program, in our swim lessons and things like that. And so training staff to be able to accommodate those kids that maybe have ADHD or have some other sort of disability or special need. I think that we are also reaching kids that we normally would be teaching, but in a better, in a higher trained way. So,
great.
So after December, I'm assuming we're continuing on with this program. Is that mm-hmm. is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll continue the pop-ups. We'll mm-hmm. there'll be a similar mm-hmm. effort moving
mm-hmm.
forward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that will be integrated to our regular CSD
programming.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nice. Now that we're all trained up.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't need the consultant anymore. Is that a?
They have a limited scope of their contract.
Uh huh.
Well, and they're giving us all the materials that we just then build on.
Right.
I guess the bigger part of this is, as an individual, as a professional, I have the knowledge and the training to do this. However, in the scope of this grant, I couldn't do all the parts.
Mm-hmm.
And in the scope of being the only person in the department, it wasn't a place where we could focus my attention. So.
I guess my only suggestion would be that we might need still that support in the future
mm-hmm.
to help update the program, do those sorts of things.
Sure.
So I wouldn't,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some expenses associated
mm-hmm.
with the program moving
right.
forward, and we
right.
should be planning and preparing for that.
Okay.
So, and that
yeah.
might include keeping
the consultant on or something.
What's their name?
More Recreation Therapy and Consulting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. so keeping them
mm-hmm.
on retainer, getting
mm-hmm.
you know agreement that
mm-hmm.
if you don't need it, you don't use them, but they're
mm-hmm.
there if you need
sure.
it, type of
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Good. I'm glad we have 35. That my only other question would be, is that 35 individuals or 35 attendees that may include the same individual attending different pop-ups?
We have had a few who have attended multiple pop-ups, but it's typically another grouping.
Okay. Great.
Okay. Any public comments? Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much. All right, moving on to Quimby Fund discussion.
Okay. So currently we call Quimby Fund 03. The district has $75,070.50. So Jill and I met a few weeks ago, and we, myself and Matt, put together kind of our top 10 list of things that we felt like needed attention through the Quimby funds. They're specialized funds that can only be used to, I don't know the exact verbiage, but it's to rehabilitate existing amenities. It's kind of the nature of it. We've used it in the past to replace roofs on restrooms. We've repaved parking lots. We repaired the deck out of Cameron Park Lake, replaced fountains. And so we've made a lot of good use since I've been here over the last 5 years out with the Quimby funds. So the top three projects that rose to the top of mine and Jill's list was, the first one was to replace the aged pool light fixtures in the pool. And that's something that was already in the works. It's scheduled to be done this week, actually. National Aquatics will be out here with a professional diver to replace all the lights in the pool. It's gotten so bad with the lights that the fixtures have to be replaced at this point. We did the bulbs a few years ago, but now the fixtures and the way that they seat on the plaster, it's seeping water. Into them. So I think there's only a handful of lights that are still working. And so time is of the essence of that project. It was becoming a safety issue for the swimmers. The second project that popped up was to upgrade the audio and visual system at the community center in our main hall. And I think, as we all know, it's gotten worse over the years. Just kind of taking a fresh look, Matt and myself, we're going to meet with the gentleman from Fair Oaks Parks and Rec on Thursday and discuss. I guess they redid their center over there in Fair Oaks, updated their audiovisual equipment. So this is not my background, and so right now we're kind of seeking ideas and guidance from other people on what we should do, what we should implement into our system to make it function the way it's supposed to. We know the speakers are blown. We know that there's issues with the mics. The soundboard is old, and so there's some definite upgrades that we can do there. So we're still in the fact-finding stage on that project. And the third one was replace the assembly room partitions. I just want you guys to know that the $130,000 cost was one from one contractor, and that was to put in a like-for-like system. There's obviously going to be a lot more homework done on the partitions before we bring a recommendation forward. I know they make systems that aren't motorized. There's some that are manual that you can pull. And I think there's a cheaper route to go for us to get the partitions fixed. What we do know about the partitions is the manufacturer of our systems is no longer in business and the parts are unavailable. The tracking system that we need, we even went so far as trying to find someone that could fabricate it for us, and we could keep running into dead ends to try to make the system we have work. And so it's looking like we have to replace the partition system itself, the doors and everything.
The rails.
The rails.
Top and bottom.
Yeah, pretty much the whole thing. Yeah, but there are manual systems out there. It doesn't have to be motorized, and so there's still some homework to do on that one before we bring a recommendation forward. So those were the three projects that rose to the top. We felt like they all fell under the Quimby Act, what it's used for. So the next steps, except for the lights, which are being replaced this week, we need to finalize the scope of work. We still have to do our homework, get cost estimates, and then bring things forward. Depending on where the costs land and what we're looking at doing, we'll kind of dictate where it goes. But so that's what we're looking to spend the Quimby funds on.
So I see 75,000 minus 17 leaves us 58.
Yep.
So we're going to try to do both of these projects with 58K, or you think it's going to be one or the other?
I don't think so. No. I think we're going to absolutely be able to fix our audiovisual equipment and update it. But obviously, looking at the partition system, unless I can find something much lower than the $130,000 mark, we're going to have to look at another funding source to supplement the partitions.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you think we can come in below $58,000 for the audiovisual?
Absolutely.
And then would have to supplement for the room petitions.
Yes. That's okay. Why the number two is the audiovisual, because we know that's something that we can tackle with the dollar amount that we have.
Okay. Those are my questions.
Okay. On the audiovisual system, are we looking at something for in here too?
We've talked about looking at, once the partitions are fixed, maybe looking at different conference setups in the other rooms. We have talked about this room as well. I think everything is on the table, kind of what we're looking at, but the immediate look is to fix what we currently have for the board meetings and the large events.
So I would just, if we're going to spend a lot of money on AV, I'd like to get these committee meetings recorded, you know, with good video too. I mean, and if the solution is eventually to have it in there and just partitioned off, or we just do all our meetings out there, I'm not sure, but I think it's important that we get the committee meetings well recorded also. Because ultimately, I think these should be on Zoom and have that available to folks. And we just can't do it right now. But in the long term, my desire would be to have all of our committee meetings on Zoom, so members of the public don't have to show up here to know what's going on. If you're a pickleball person or, you know, swim team, soccer, and you want to know what's going on and you don't want to have to leave home and drag the kids down here or whatever else, you can sit at home from the luxury of your couch while Monday Night Football's on and catch the meeting. But we can't do that right now. And if we're going to spend a bunch of money on AV, I had the hope that we get that capability.
Okay.
So, and then the partition, you know, I'm supportive of continuing the research and getting costs and figuring out a solution for that. So I fully recognize the need to do that. Again, we need more detail.
We do.
Yeah.
We've just scratched the surface on that, so.
Actually, I have one other question. So the $17,000 for the LED lights, has that gone to the board, or is that budgeted somewhere already?
It's under the general manager's authority, and we have not identified a funding allocation yet. It could come from the general fund within our budget. We can try to find a way in the general fund. It could come from Quinby. We just knew that this project, because the pool is going to be open this winter, it was a project we had to get done. And so we scheduled it to be done. And there was a couple of other things that we had to do as well.
And have any of these projects been sent to the county for rubber stamping that these are Quinby fund?
We typically don't do that in advance with Quinby. It's never been a problem for us to recover Quinby funds from the district things that we've done.
Okay.
And we just send a report up to the county explaining what we've done and what we've spent and all of our backup, and they pay us.
Okay. So is it appropriate for us then to send to the board, maybe on consent, this to pay from the Quinby funds, the $17,000 for the LED fixtures?
It would be nice for the board to, yes.
I'm supportive of that.
Okay.
We're doing it. If we can use Quinby funds, I would say we should do that.
Mm-hmm. And just on consent.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we'll hopefully hear back on these other two items soon.
Yes, we will be bringing stuff back.
All right, any public comment? All right, thank you. All right, that moves us on. Well, I should say, any final comments?
No, I did it again. Okay.
I don't have any further comments either. All right, recreation report.
I don't have a ton to add to what is already there. I did want to update on page 2 under sports with our pickleball numbers. Since the report, obviously we finished out the month, so our number of drop-ins is at 69 instead of 51. And our annual pass swipes is 150 instead of 108. And then in our communication section, I just wanted to update that we have completed the update on our waste connections section of the website.
Oh, good.
Mm. Nice. So that has been cleaned up and updated and rebranded, designed, et cetera.
Not so boring.
So if you haven't looked at it, go take a look at it.
Okay.
And we have started the update on the fire page. We started with the update of the information for fire inspections and plan submittals. And that information, and we've kind of called that out in a different way. And Kayla is scheduled to meet with Callan soon to revamp that page. And that, other than our About Us page, fire is one of the last two for us to revamp.
Is there information going to be in there on the annexation and, well, I shouldn't say that, sustainability, fire sustainability effort?
What we have done in the past when we've had things like closing the lagoon, uh-huh. I just met with the county, talked about drainage, and so we usually do a fact sheet, and that is typically posted primarily on our main page. It's one of the big bubbles there.
Because I know you're working on messaging, right?
Yeah, okay. So that will be it'll be a fact sheet, what you need to know and things like that, so.
Okay. Any questions for Kim?
Yeah, so our activity guide is now all emailed, correct? Or is it?
It's all digital.
It's all digital. Mm-hmm. So how do you get it? You just go to the website to get it? Is it part
of
the...
So it's on our website. Uh-huh. We put links to it in all of our e-newsletters. I believe we did blast it out, that page specifically out, when it was ready to go. There's quick links to it on our front page of our website, and then it has its own page within recreation as well.
Yeah, I did receive it. I just don't know which subscriber list I was on to receive it. I probably got two copies.
That's good.
The other question I had was regarding the Gold Nugget Quilters. Do they pay for our, do they pay to rent a room?
They do not.
Why? Why don't they?
They've been here forever. They've never paid. And so, and they're a senior group. So when I arrived, there was the senior group that plays cards. There was the quilters group. And so there were several groups, you know, senior nutrition. So it was wrapped into the spirit of providing senior programs. There's probably 10 to 15 people that come to that.
Okay. So it's part of the seniors.
So it'd be part of our future facility use policy and rate setting policy.
Yes, it could be. Mm-hmm. They also helped us with some tablecloths and some other things.
Well, and that makes sense. I mean, if you gave, certain groups free access to our rooms, that's fine. Especially if they're not generating revenue themselves.
Right, and they don't generate revenue themselves.
If there's another paying organization that wants that time and space, do they get it?
We usually can work around them, you know.
And I'm really happy seeing our heavy use of our website, and I really like you reporting that. You put on a new report on there with on the newsletter, a 53% open rate and a 4% click rate. So people are not clicking on it, but they are opening it. Which is okay. 50% are open. One of those is me, because I opened it. I don't know if I clicked through either. But, you know, with the headlines, you can easily go through and read that. The other question I have, what if the dance classes are coming in?
We are working in a partnership with West Coast Dance Arts.
Okay, and they'll be bringing forward some programming, or?
Yes, so we are currently partnered with them in an instructor agreement where they provide classes off-site in their studio.
Oh, okay.
But we do registration. We also do registration, and so we get 40% of those registrations for our advertising of it, doing the registration, our office personnel helping customers, etc. But they wanted to expand and bring, we already have a ballet instructor who provides our baby ballet, beginning ballet, and our like ballet one classes, and West Coast Dance Arts is gonna bring other styles to the classes here at the community center.
Like adult hip hop?
I don't think they're doing any adult classes. I think they're mainly youth classes.
I can link you up.
What styles other than ballet?
You want a dance class for adults? I can link you up.
Well, I came and checked out Zumba. I'm probably going to end up in Zumba.
Oh, Zumba's good.
So I did look
at that. That's a very popular class.
The reason I ask is I thought at one point we were trying to consolidate all of our programming here at the community center, and we weren't trying to use other areas or other venues. So I'm just curious about that.
Well, I think that, yes, in general, we are trying to have programming here at the community center. But we also have to balance that with the community's desire, what they want to participate in, and the instructors who come forward. So I felt that turning away a partnership with West Coast Dance Arts to provide at their own facility, to just turn it away because we only wanted them to do programming here, I felt was a missed opportunity for our community.
Is that something we want to expand? If we're getting 43% of registrations and we're just doing registration for them? I mean, that actually sounds like a revenue generator.
So,
or is that just a snarly mess?
So it became a snarly mess when I was here.
Right, I remember.
Yes,
we had
and
stuff
so
splattered everywhere.
We had things splattered everywhere. So I think that it has to be considered on a case by case basis.
All right.
You know, and because we don't want to go back to programming an inch high and a mile wide. You know, so.
And we hold the same standards to that, whether they're off-site or on-site. So if we are not gaining a good amount of registrations through us, even if they're off-site, then it's not a program that we'll continue. We did that with a... So we're not... Again, we're just making sure that whatever resources we're putting out there, whether it's off-site or on-site, that it is actually beneficial
to the district.
And you know, we're not spreading ourselves thin just to spread ourselves.
Well, it was just a change because I know we made that big effort to consolidate, and now it sounds like we're sneaking it back. But if it's case by case basis, and just you
benefit
all,
to the district, there's a critical eye, you know, discerning decision on that.
And I think it kind of comes with the conversation, right? So for West Coast Dance Arts, for them, they wanted to see if a partnership with us was worthwhile, and it turned out to be. So now they're ready to expand that and offer programming here at our community center.
Okay.
And I think that that's kind of the
intent
avenue that we go through. It's kind of.
And so they're under the regular instructor model, or are they under some other? Okay. All right.
Where's their studio?
West Coast Dance Arts, it's right on the end of the road here.
Oh, on Greenwood?
I believe so, yeah. Mm-hmm. They just moved over here.
Trouble time area here? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Or across the street? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I had.
That's all I have on that.
Don't forget public comment.
Yeah, okay. Public comment. See, if we had Zoom, we might have somebody on board. So. All right, Mike, rec report.
Yeah, I'm just going to...
Parks and facilities.
I'm just going to touch on a few things. The first one is the district has set up an account with govdeals.net. They are an organization that surpluses equipment and all kinds of stuff like ours. And so the Ford Bronco has been on 5 days now, and it's got 21 bids and like 2,500 watchers. So it's exciting. We have a bet going with all this.
I was
going
to say, we have a bet, yeah.
The bid and the bids are over 5K?
So I started it at 5,000. It's at 7,300 right now. So
it's even higher than the last time I looked.
What year is that truck?
It's a 96.
Jeez. Okay. What the heck? I can't believe
we're buying that thing. They're only Blue Boys at 8,000, but the last one sold on there for a lot. So, and this gives us an avenue because there's other stuff in the district, especially at the park shop that's been laying around forever that we want to surplus and get out of here.
Yeah,
so,
we need the space.
Yeah. So, so there will be stuff, you know, whatever the policy states will be coming your guys' way to approve to get rid of. This is our first run with them, but it's working out really well so far. The district signed a contract with the local property management company to open and close the parks. So this past year, we've had a staff member that was willing to do it 6 nights a week. So we've gotten by the last year with staff. He put in his notice about a month ago, and so we had to come up with a solution. We reached out to 3 or 4 security companies and 3 or 4 property management companies, and we only got one person that was interested. And so we move forward with them. The contract is it's a month-to-month basis. We're going to continue to look for ways that maybe the district staff can close 1 or 2 nights a week when things are quieter. But this at least puts somebody in place to close the parks, and then we're going to continue to look at it as we move forward because there's an expense to having a contractor go.
How much does it cost?
So it's $100 an hour. So it's about $900 a week. It's a lot.
Do you want a new job, Tim?
We've done this for Tim's background. We've done this in a variety of ways.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Oh, you're familiar. Yeah. So we're going to try this under the general manager's authority, and then we'll probably come back to the board.
Yeah, I hear you on this.
We're going to continue to look for ways to.
When do they start?
Tonight. Okay. Matt's actually taking them around tonight to make a trial run.
Okay, good. Because there was people walking below my window at 6 a.m. this morning. It's like, I don't think the park got closed down.
Last night. I opened it this morning.
You opened it?
Mm-hmm.
At 6?
6 a.m.
Okay. Well,
yeah,
that's
right.
Right
at 6, that's when I came in.
Okay.
Just going down the list here. So, the pickleball nets, we removed them permanently from the courts, so they're stored in one of our storage sheds. We can easily put them back on if we choose to, but for now they're taken down, so pickleball is officially removed. We installed the Prop 68 sign over at Kristen McCulloff. I guess this was something that needed to be installed and stay up for 2 years in order for us to get reimbursed from the Prop 68 fees for renovating Krista. We put the original sign up and it was vandalized within a week, but I never knew it had to stay up for 2 years. We just found this out. So new sign was created. It's back up again.
Have we received any money yet for the other projects we did for? Did we do another field or we only did Krista?
This was the only Prop 68, was Krista.
Okay.
So I took a picture of the sign, sent it over to our contact with the state. So we should be seeing that money coming in, I would assume.
We have that funding to receive. We have an extension that is under the general manager's authority to sign that takes us to 2028. And then we have our new project that we'll be submitting. So we've reached out to the state to try to set up a time just to touch base with them on, you know, all of these things, and I have not heard back yet, so.
And then just on the last section, the Oral Community Center. So as you can tell, we re-landscaped the front of the community center with the help of the Ponderosa crew and CAL FIRE district staff. We installed 49 new plants. We tore out, didn't count, but, not that many, but they were much bigger. The type of plants that we've chosen are all dwarf variety, low grow, very low maintenance, very low water, and so should be a lot less work than those roses were. To prune those things back, I feel like you prune them and then they grow a foot the next day. It just, it's a constant battle. So the front of the community center's got a nice fresh new look. The district will be releasing an RFP here. We're in the process of creating it to get all of our gutters repaired, sealed, and cleaned here at the community center. That was a project that was called out on the Angus and Terry report for the warranty work. So we are still, I think this is project 4 or 5 on the list, and we still have funding to continue to move on projects. So that's really good news. So we're hoping to get that done before we get too far into winter. And then the district did not get Growlersburg this month. We usually lose them in the fall to other fires and training and stuff, but luckily we did get the Ponderosa crew twice, so we put them to work. But we have Growlersburg coming back on October 17th. We're going to start taking the vegetation off the face of the dam, and then we're going to get back on our weed abatement lot clearing. Just continue to make progress. Questions?
Great. Yeah, so the event, regarding Paul J. Ryan Park, because we know that the road widening is going to be coming, I was suggesting that we just abandon the grass there and quit fertilizing and quit mowing it. Just keep it tidy, but not put any, invest anything in it since it's going to be having to be adjusted anyway when that widening comes through. So I thought that might save staff time, save water and money,
just
fertilizer.
Brown it out almost?
Just brown it out. Yeah, exactly. Just brown it out. Keep it mowed and trimmed as needed. If it stays green in the winter, fine.
Well, how's the roadway winding going to impact it?
Oh, when we met with them, they will pay. They wanted to do improvements instead of cash. So one of the things they would be doing is moving the fence back. They have to tear out a bunch of trees, and it's going to impact that grassy area anyway. Mm-hmm. So it seems to me, why sit there and maintain it when they would actually come back and?
Because it looks nice. We've maintained it for a long time. We're going to restore it.
The county will restore it.
Right. So it'll be, if we let it go now, then when they come in and, I mean, there'll be nothing left of it.
Or not restore it. Not restore it. Just restore it with low water landscaping, natural landscaping.
Well, I guess I would suggest that we continue to water it until we have a plan for the future.
Right. Well, it's probably all within staff control anyway. I just thought I'd throw it out there.
Okay.
And let the staff.
Well, water's almost out for the year, so living in a set of plans from the county on the impact that it'll look like. And, okay.
Well, we did have those preliminary ones, and I sent you a copy.
Oh,
of
did
that.
You? Okay, I have not looked at them yet.
That was a while ago. The other thing, the maple, the red maple tree that died at Cameron Park Lake, that wasn't the one that has the donated tree, was it?
Oh, the one with the plaque?
With the one with the plaque in the picture? No?
Okay. No, it's not. It was a different donation tree.
Okay. And are we paying for it, or are they paying for it?
So we're paying for the tree. They paid for the original tree. I don't know what happened to it. It looks like it has a lesion on the bark, so I don't know if we hit it with a mower or something. Something mm-hmm. happened to it. So,
all right.
Yeah,
so that
we're
just,
putting a new one in.
To me, that says it's important to get our gift program mm-hmm. done because we shouldn't be incurring... Mm-hmm. We should not be incurring repairs for someone's donation. The donator should do those repairs, or you know, the end of the life of the donation mm-hmm. has occurred. So to me, that just is an example of why we need that. Mm-hmm. And those are my questions or comments.
I guess my only comments were thank you for the follow-up from my correspondent. Several of those things are covered in your report.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but I think the park's looking great. So that's all I have.
Thanks.
All right. And that brings us to items for future community meetings. JBS.
So I think we agreed park improvement plan, RFP for the landscape architect is one of the top items on that list.
Well, I would suggest that it's we don't need to see it again here at this committee.
We don't see what needs
to
see.
The RFP, the results of the RFP, anything.
Right. We just need to tell staff to.
Staff just needs to get it to the board.
That's fine. It may not, at this point, elevate to the board. How we did the landscape architect in the past when we. Worked with Ben and Calendar and Associates is that those grant development costs, especially if you're working on the park improvement plan, are captured in the park improvement plan. So if we the park improvement plan that Calendar provided was funded out of park improvement plan funds. And that's how I would approach this one as well, is that we are developing plans for the future. I think that if we can do an RFP, it can be under the general manager's authority, and there won't be a budget allocation. So it does not need to come back. And we would just use the same RFP that we did when we found Calendar and Associates.
So you're anticipating the value of that services contract to be within your spending authority?
Initially, yes. We came up with a whole park improvement plan and those cost estimates.
But how much should we spend on the, say, the splash pad?
The splash pad then elevated to the board, and once you decided on what projects you wanted to pursue, then that would be a trigger that you either initiate and continue the contract with the landscape architect, or you go with another landscape architect. But this initial one, what I'm understanding is you just want a landscape architect to estimate cost for...
I would like to have a landscape architect who's on contract on an on-call basis.
Okay.
And they have a set not-to-exceed limit of whatever it is, $100,000. But they would work under individual task authorizations, like for a plan, mm-hmm. or for an entry design, or for assistance with a shade structure. Mm-hmm. And they would have individual tasks. They'd work under that. So we wouldn't have to go through a board action to contract on all these things. We'd have a contract, and the general manager has authority to issue task orders under that.
And I just approach it differently. You know, I approached it from a matter of we developed something for the board then, under the general manager's authority, for the board then to decide what to move ahead with.
Right.
And then we continued with that landscape architect to move ahead with, or you did another RFP. I mean, you chose to move ahead with Calendar. I think I typically stay away from open-ended contracts. It's kind of like what we got into with RGS is there was an open-ended contract, and we chewed up a bunch of money with RGS, and I don't have a product from that HR service. I don't. And so that's why I'm a little bit more specific when I initiate consulting contracts.
I thought we wanted to have a list of projects with corresponding costs so that we go through and pick mm-hmm. and choose what's appropriate.
That's for
and
step one.
The best way to get more accurate costs is not to have staff do it, but have a landscape architect.
Sure,
do it.
I don't disagree with that at all.
Why don't we start with that?
Because I don't want to have to come back and then do recontracts and staffs. I just want one contractor, our contractor, for the next 3 years. There are experts in park improvements, and we go to them for assistance. And we don't have to worry about all these separate contracts. And it's competitively bid. We selected it. The board approved it. Everything is like, there are consultants.
I think that you're telling me how to do something instead of what you want done. And I think that what this committee needs to do is tell me what you want done, and then as staff, I will figure out how to do that. And I think that we are mixing roles here a little bit. So tell me what the product is, and then I will...
A consultant who would deliver projects for us.
That's
the result.
For me, that's not direction.
It is direction for me.
Well, okay.
I think the direction should be that we have a landscape architect that comes up. We have a prioritized list that was discussed when I wasn't here. We don't have a prioritized list. We have a list of projects that was discussed
mm-hmm.
when I was not here. Why don't we go get costs on those to let us decide where we want to go forward?
I totally agree. That's
and that's
the
direction.
Very first step I would take with this contract.
Right.
Let's do that. Let's start with that.
I'm just suggesting that we do the work up front to save ourselves time later and to have an expert that's available to us for all these different things we do.
Yeah. So the product, I think, is that, and that's what I heard from the meeting in, this is September, right? September, was that a park improvement plan, you wanted to take the park improvement plan, you gave us feedback on what the projects were that you were interested in, and we were to come back with a prioritized list and cost estimates. I can do that with a landscape architect under the general manager's authority, and I have a funding source for that. So you need to tell me what the product is, and I will return with the product.
I think you should return that product.
I think we need a product for a gate then. And I need a product for a shade structure. So how are you going to deliver all those things at the same time?
I can't. And that's why
But a landscape, a consultant can, because they have the time to do it. That's why we hire consultants. They have expertise and resources to get these things done. And so if we piecemeal it one piece at a time, selecting our contractors, putting our contracts together, it just slows everything down, makes it harder for us. It lacks continuity. We should find somebody we're going to depend upon and like and use them and commit to them.
We're not a big agency. We don't have a lot of resources. And I think that again, let me know what the product is that you would like to
see. I said we have a bunch of products. I'm trying to find a deliver more than just a plan.
So,
I mean, we're going to come out of that.
Why don't we just want the cost estimate?
There's projects we want to do right away. We've said it.
Right, so let's just get a cost estimate.
So how do we build our entry gate, for example?
The entry gate is turning out to be a snarly mess.
No, it's a public works project. I've been trying to explain this to people.
We heard you.
Mm-hmm. We heard you and we confirmed
that.
And
they confirmed it.
I know, and it's just a process you have to go through for all of these things.
But now, given the cost of that project, uh-huh. which we're not kind of agendized to go discussing the gate, but...
Well, we are, because we're talking about future items.
There you go. So on that one's a snarly mess because it goes with fees and it goes with policies and it has all these other things feeding into it. Maybe we don't want a gate now that it turns out to be $80,000.
I don't know why it would change what we read for the reasons we discussed.
The gate is getting quite expensive, and I think that you will have to consider the return on investment. Also, moving forward with a $70,000 gate, when you have playground equipment, it has to be funded out of the general fund. And so, you know, I just don't know, for our community, do we want staff time dedicated to an entry gate for Cameron Park Lake, or do you want staff time dedicated to shade structures at the pool?
I don't know, but we need a landscape architect on board to help us figure those things out.
And the landscape architect is not doing staff work. And the staff work has to do fees and things like that.
They can support those sorts of things.
You have to tell me what the products are that you want. Okay. I will work towards getting those products to you. It makes me nervous that we have so much backed up here and that pickleball is unhappy that we're not getting to the conditional use permit and things like that. And so I need to figure out what the priorities are so that we can move through them in a manner. That's why we came forward with the two projects tonight. I thought that those were low-hanging fruit. It was near term. We can get those moved on and do some feel-good projects in the community.
I appreciate that desire. But I think there's a process that we have to go through on a lot of these things, especially things that are new projects. And so there's a dividing line there. You're replacing partitions, replacing lights, fixing fields. Those are all things that I can stomach. But new facilities, new things that are costly and need design work, that need to go to contractors that are likely to be more than $15,000 or $25,000 if it's not maintenance, are public works projects, and we need to consider them because they are so expensive, what the process is to go through that. And so it all costs us a lot of money, and it'll come out of our park improvement funds.
The gate won't.
Well, the rest of the stuff will. All these other things we're talking about.
Well, if the gate's coming out of the general fund, then I'm not sure I want to go forward with it because we're broke. And I don't think $70,000 is something we should be throwing around right now. I think we should get a landscape architect out and get those cost estimates on those identified projects that you and Sid identified. Mm-hmm. Let's do that now. Let's get that done now. I think we agree on that.
We do.
So
I just
let's do that.
Okay. I just, well.
Let's just get that done, and then we can end our meeting an half an hour late.
All right.
And I would just like to throw one more thing in there, mm-hmm. is that I really think that that gift policy and that second hearing of the park ordinance really needs to come forward, because I see abuse out there in the parks regularly, and we already now have another example of why we need that gift policy proposal, because now we're incurring costs on other people's behalf.
So,
and I agree with that statement.
Our plan was to come with the daily and the Cranmer Park Lake entry fees, season passes, facility use fees for the community center, sports fields, and pool in November, along with the automatic gate in November. And then you can, if you want to bring back the automatic gate.
I'd rather postpone the gate and bring forward the
just the fees
and the gift policy.
I would like to get those done. I mean, it doesn't mean you stop working. I mean, obviously there's a, what are you working on?
Right.
So, but those two, but those two items, those are close to being done, I believe, right? And I would agree with Monique.
What's
the gift
that?
Policy and the park ordinance.
I have not looked at the park ordinance and the gift policy. I have done some work on.
So, I mean, if we could wrap those up, that would be great for next meeting.
Okay,
I don't know that we're anywhere near close to have an intelligent discussion on a entry gate and all the fee changes associated with that, because we don't have any idea really what it's going to cost.
So I think that what we have to plan towards, there is a strategic objective that says, you know, what does it say?
Examine
costs,
benefits
and constraints of charging Cameron Park Lake fees. And that was a strategic objective that was put in the strategic plan that was very dear to a lot of people.
Well, I would suggest we hold off on that until we have a new general manager and get some of these other things done before we take on some weighty policy issues that are what I would call a big change from what we're doing now.
Well, and I would just say that those fees have to be set.
I'm not talking, I'm fine with, you know, what do you guys do every year? You look at your fees. Obviously, we set those.
Right.
But I don't know that we should be digging into whether or not we should be, say, charging people to enter Cameron Park Lake. I don't think that's a discussion we should have now.
I think that they're tied together, because the entrance fee into Cameron Park Lake is tied to fees that we set each year, is tied to annual passes.
Right, and I'm saying we wouldn't change our approach right now.
And I agree with that. I like the idea of having the new general manager weigh in on what we do.
So if you have it, you'll wait another year. Because
that's fine.
Okay.
Or we can bring it up and change the fees mid-year if we have to.
Well, then you have sold passes based on a daily entry fee.
Well.
And we've also removed staffing from Cameron Park Lake, you know, at the kiosk.
Well, we'd staffed it till October, obviously.
But it's not in this year's budget. You know, there was a $30,000 savings because we did not staff. So our recommendation, and let's do it this way. I would like to bring back a recommendation on Cameron Park fees and the automatic gate. I think that staff is prepared. We have dug up all of our revenues. We have, for the last 3 years, we have costs on the gate. We know how to do this. We're ready to come. You can either accept it or reject it at that point. But we've done our work so that you can at least get started on a conversation about benefits and constraints of charging fees at Cameron Park Lake.
I'm fine with that.
I just want to get these other things out of the way. I think the gate is delayed extensively, and so I'm not comfortable with having that conversation until we have new leadership established. And yes, it'll wait another year because it's already too late probably to change anything significantly.
Well, I think that...
Plus, we don't have a rate study. We don't have anything to support. I mean, what are our rates based on? I mean, this is a big mess.
I would like they've already have work done. Let's look at what they've got.
Well, do you have time to get these other things to us? That's not delay. These things are mostly cooked and should be getting done for a project that could very well be dead in the water.
What is mostly cooked is are the first two items that I wanted to bring in November and that we're planning to bring in November is the facility use fees, Cameron Park daily entry fees, and the gate. Those are the things that are cooked and ready to come back to you.
You said you worked on either the gift or the ordinance.
I did not work on the ordinance. The gift I did do some work on.
Can you bring that to them?
I can bring a gift policy to you, but then when I brought it last time, there was input that we wanted design features in the gift policy, which I was opposed to putting in there because that is something that changes over time and the policy stays. So the policy is easy and then there are design features and a lot of it goes with your park improvement plan. There are design features and characteristics of each park. So your staff then have design, you delegate that to staff and they are the ones that decide, do you want a pink bench or do you want a wood bench? A cement bench, you know, those are the things that you authorize staff to make those decisions. And there was pushback that was not appropriate. And so
didn't we talk about a style guide, basically?
Yes, you wanted a style guide as part of the policy. And I said, no.
We don't need a style. How about just bring the policy?
I would like to bring the policy.
Just bring the policy.
Okay, well, bring something for us to send onto the board that we can support.
And the style guide can come later.
Yes. Style guide is delegated to staff.
It needs to be clear on how the features are designed and approved. It has to be very clear, right? What happens? What is the process?
Well, Tim, you'll either accept or reject what I bring.
Well, okay.
All right, good. Then that's going to leave the pickleball conditional use permit. Won't be coming back next time. The second park ordinance, second hearing won't be coming back. The road widening, Paul Ryan Park, would also stay under future.
Yeah, it's the county hasn't gotten back to me. I met with them and told them what my expectations were.
Okay. It's nice to have it on there so people are aware of it.
Oh, yeah, no, and I like to have a running list because then I know what we've done.
Yeah, all right.
So I would hope that we could have a list of priority projects and conceptual cost in December or January. And then we could do pickleball conditional use permit in December.
Okay. And any other comments on that one?
I'll save them for after the meeting. All right. Items forward to the board of directors.
We have two.
Quimby and the sports fields.
And then you talked about raising the slide. Can you still do that? You don't need board permission to do that.
I haven't talked to Mike yet, and I haven't checked our funding.
Yeah.
It was just my idea.
Oh. Raise. I had to look it up.
R-A-Z-E.
Oh, okay. R-A-Z-E.
Yeah.
Come on, demo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was confused.
I had that idea, and I haven't talked to you about it.
Okay.
And so, but I think that we can do that under park improvement, please, because we are making way for an improvement out there. But if we don't make a way for the improvement out there, then I don't know that we can do it. So,
I'm just wondering if you need board approval to remove a dangerous, unusable.
It depends on the cost.
Okay.
So I would assume that it would come over the general manager's authority, but I don't know that.
Okay.
To pay someone to remove it, or it wouldn't cost $25,000 to remove that slide.
Okay. Yeah. No so, way. So if I have, I may bring it back to tie it to a funding source.
Wow, we can't have staff just remove the slide?
No, you can't. You don't have the equipment. It's heavy.
Yeah. Okay. You're going to need a lot of weight up over your head.
Mm-hmm. Okay, never mind then.
Yeah.
All right.
Matters to and from.
Okay. Thank you for saving the swan. We'll watch that one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
the whole
yeah,
thing.
That was
a
nice story.
The chasing the swan. Swan's going and there's this boat gaining on it.
Kim has one more thing.
So we had mentioned in a previous meeting about doing like a parks and community center type tour. And so I just wanted to circle back around to that, see if that is still something that you guys are wanting to do, and if so, do you have specifics, things that you want to see, so that I can start putting together a little field trip?
I found the last one very beneficial, and I would like to see some integrated pool splash area thing, just to see what we'd be getting ourselves into should we pursue that.
Yeah, well, we can do some pools.
Yeah. And look at, if you could marry the tour to some of the projects we're looking at so the board can get an idea of what those may look like in real life, I think that would be beneficial.
Mm-hmm. I'd be interested in conversations with staff at those mm-hmm. other agencies about similar topics to what we've been discussing, like rate setting, for mm-hmm. example, and policies associated with facility use. Okay, anything else?
I just want to say thank you for staff for keeping our community running. That's all I have. My grandson's here, so I was...
Yes, you've been busy.
Yeah, if I get spit up on you, that's fine. Don't stand too close to me.
All right, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right, we are adjourned at
8:17.